Hello, I'm Pauline Jennings. Welcome to Musician Talk. Singer-songwriter and author Katie Testman is my guest this week. You may have seen her in past months play for the Songwriters in the Round series at the Grand. Katie writes songs with a voice full of the wisdom that she's gained through her struggles and victories. They express a straight-from-the-heart songwriting style that moves her audiences deeply. After a long break from music, she came back stronger than ever and with much more to say. She writes books and songs, records, and performs regionally, filling stages with just her voice and guitar. The rest I will let Katie tell herself. It's time to talk with Katie Testman. Welcome, Katie, to Musician Talk. I'm so happy to have you on.
Thank you, Pauline. I'm really happy to be here with you.
We're recording this today on Tuesday via Zoom during the big, huge storm, and I'm looking outside and it's looking pretty calm. So I don't know if it's delayed or what, but I'm happy about that.
Yeah, this is like I think we're in the eye of the storm right now where it's stopped and we'll come back. We'll get a few more inches.
Just in time for rush hour tomorrow for all those people that commute, right?
Right.
Awesome. Well, I saw you play at one of the Mark Ross's Singers in the Round down at the Grand a couple months ago. And I was so impressed and loved your story and loved your music and said, I want to have her on the show. So here we are.
Thank you. Yes, yep. It was wonderful meeting you in Northfield.
And yes, what a great town we live in. We're all very, very fortunate to be here. It's filled with so many musicians and so much music. That's awesome. So, Katie, what's one of your first memories of music and liking music and feeling like it's a fit? Just kind of take me back to however old that was.
Well, I grew up in Brooklyn Center, and my mom and dad are both very musical. Hobbyists. My dad is known for just making up a little song as he's unloading the grocery. Nice. And their taste in music was very influential to my style of music that I create. Simon and Garfunkel and Joni Mitchell, Carole King, the soundtrack to Hair was on repeat in my house. And, in grade school, I always sang in the choir. I loved being, participating in the choir. High school, I performed in the musical theater productions. And then in college, I, considered having a minor in music, but the theater department was so demanding. I just focused on more musical performance and was a trained soprano and played a wide variety of evil stepmothers. That's mostly how I was cast.
Oh, that's fun. That's so much fun.
Well, I'm very tall. And so when I'm on stage, being 5'9", I usually get the mother role. When I got cast in those roles, I had to change my trained soprano voice to be more of a character alto. When I graduated college, I knew I wanted to be on stage, but I didn't necessarily want to pursue acting. And I had just picked up the guitar and started teaching myself songs by Natalie Merchant and the Indigo Girls. And then I started writing a couple of songs, kind of like what my dad wrote, you know, some silly stuff, unloading the groceries. And I realized that that could be my cure for being on stage, is songwriting and, just booking little shows at coffee houses. And I pursued a marketing career for nonprofits, and I worked in theater companies and other children's nonprofits.
Perfect.
And the need to make music and the drive to be on stage was always there ever since I was little.
That drive, isn't that just so powerful, first of all, right? It's just like it, and I hate saying this, but because everybody says it, but it just works. It feeds you in a way that other things just don't. And so you crave that.
right?
Yeah.
I'm an actress too. And that's what I started doing, you know, before I was in a band for many years. So I get that. But you said you had to, you had to kind of rework your voice to be a character alto voice instead of a trained soprano. And, were you doing things then that were considered bad for your voice when you were doing those character voices?
Probably, yeah. But I was 20 years old and invincible.
Absolutely. I sang country music, country and rock for 20 years and a lot of glottal stops and a lot of stuff happening in my neck. And that's not the way you're supposed to sing. Right. And so, I'm glad I still have a voice, but it's interesting because to have access to some of those kind of roles on the stage, I'm sure there's a good way to do it. I'm sure there is a good way to do it, but some of it, it's difficult.
It is. It is difficult. And when you're performing right in the moment, you're going to want to hit the note,
right,
and express the passion of the song. And it's hard to use your instrument of a voice correctly in every second,
right,
of every minute of the song. Yeah, it's tricky. It's really tricky.
It is. It is. You also said that you picked up the guitar, and I think you said this was in college or after.
I think it was like my senior year of college.
Right. Wow. Yeah. And how quick did it come? Was it just, was it a fit?
I taught myself to play the cowboy chords.
Okay.
So I could accompany myself. So I identify as a singer that strums a guitar.
Got it.
And having sheet music of songs that I love helped me learn more and more chords.
Sure.
I don't really identify as a guitar player. I also strum a mandolin, but it's mostly so I can accompany the story that I want to tell with my song. Yeah, it seems to be a puzzle piece that fits well together.
I'm just so glad that it came pretty naturally to you, it sounded like. I was wondering if you had a key to doing that or something.
I think it's harder for me to play with my band and put my guitar down and just sing.
Got it.
Then I have a little more trouble figuring out what to do with my body.
Really? Even as an actress, you would think that that would be something that would...
Well, yeah, because I'm not necessarily a character.
Right.
I am myself.
Right.
And so sometimes I think of this song is the character I'm portraying.
Yeah.
Which will give a little more confidence.
Right.
What I'm doing with my body. But
isn't that interesting? And I find that I hear more than just a couple people say that, and that they're comfortable being on stage as long as they're acting in a role. But if you put them on stage to do a speech or to sing a song as themselves, it can be really difficult.
Yeah. Women are told to be self-conscious.
Well, that's, there's that too on top of that.
Yeah.
All right. So you went into marketing and you were doing that and you picked up the guitar and you're starting to write songs. When did you start recording them or putting them down on paper and really taking it seriously?
In 1996, okay. I formed a band with a friend from college, random person I met at a party, and Craigslist request for a drummer.
Wow.
I think it was Craigslist. I don't remember, in the 90s.
Right, yeah.
Sticky Pages ad.
It could have been a back then. Or you put up a thing right at Guitar Center, right? Between the doors.
With the ripped off, a little slap.
Ripped off your phone number.
Exactly. Yes. And that's when I would come home from work and I would pick up my phone and hear the dial tone to see if there was a voicemail. Da, 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 da. Yeah. So 1996. And we named ourselves Joe's Elevator, and we performed at a wide variety of places in the Twin Cities, smaller, intimate coffee shops. And we would go up to Duluth. We played Amazing Grace Cafe. And then in 97, we released our debut album. And the four-piece band, we had two songwriters. So we decided which songs would make the best musical journey listening to the album.
Yep. Nice.
And our release party was at the Fine Line, and nice. It was so much fun. But just like every band, we broke up. And then I pursued a solo musical career. And two 3 years after that first album, I did my solo debut. And that was 11 original songs. One song was repeated from the Joe's Elevator album.
Got it. Okay.
And we're still doing that song today.
Oh, nice. Family.
Yes, yes. And I did a variety of tours throughout the northern part of the U.S.
You and your guitar?
Yes. And then my husband at the time, he was my drummer.
I know.
Oh. Yes. 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 And then early 2003, my first son was born and I took a pregnant pause from music, from the stage. 3 years later, my second son was born and I hadn't gone back to making music, performing. I don't think I even touched my guitar for a handful of years. And motherhood became my identity, and raising my boys. And of course I would write the little ditties about taking your shoes off at the door, take your shoes off at the door, you know, raising the littles.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
You were gathering material for your songs later with that motherhood thing, right?
Yes.
There's so much there. Yeah.
My little pregnant pause was 20 years.
Wow. What was it that got you going again?
A lot of things happened in those 20 years.
Yeah.
And there was some music. And I taught early childhood music and I started to sing in the worship band at our church. But it was the pandemic when my boys and I were forced to stay home. You know, I got to work remotely, which was a blessing. My boys were in high school and junior high with remote school. And the three of us were at home looking at each other a lot.
Yep.
My younger son started producing music, making music using FL Studios.
Oh, very cool.
My older son said, "Mom, I want to learn how to play your guitar." He was in the band. He was in the drum line.
Weren't you just waiting for him, for one of your children to say that?
I know.
Yes.
Yes. So I taught him my four cowboy chords. Yes. And he just cruised from there. And then I started songwriting. I don't understand how it happened. I just the space and the muse and it all came together. And one song led to another song, which led to another song. And then, January of 2022, I started performing and here we are.
That recently.
Yeah.
As a solo artist. Yeah. Well, congratulations, man. You know, it takes guts. It really does to go back to that after 20 years. And so when you started songwriting again, it's a perfect segue to the next thing I wanted to talk to you about, which was your songwriting process. And well, first of all, did it change from when you were first doing your solo act and writing some stuff to after your break and you started and it kind of was just pouring forth? Did your process change and what is it?
Material has definitely changed. The topics of my songs are different than when I was in my 20s and early 30s. Now I joined a Facebook group, a singer-songwriter songwriting challenge. You know, when you think Facebook, you think it's going to be a toxic, critical group of people. But this is the most life-giving group of creative folks I've ever encountered. Every 2 weeks, we get a prompt. And this past year of 2022, I wrote 21 new songs.
Oh my gosh, that's incredible.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Wow. And you just like photography, how you need to take a lot of pictures so you get a keeper.
Yeah.
With songwriting, I kind of feel like that's the same sort of thing, is you just have to just spit out some new things. And then when you find something that you really connect with and you really like, then you can to elaborate on it. So with this challenge, with the quick turnaround of 2 weeks, write a song. In the summer, it's 1 week to write a song.
Oh, no!
Yes, yes. And so you write it, and then you do a little home video, and you upload it to the interwebs, and then you watch and listen and comment and cheerlead everybody else who's participating. Getting the good vibes from people was so affirming that, okay, yes, this is something I should be doing. It feels good. I want to do it and I have something to say.
Right.
Yeah. So, this song that the first song that you want to play for the listeners is a song that I wrote last winter.
Okay.
Usually the prompts are a word, but this song, was written from a prompt of a photograph. And it's a picture of an old rundown home on a prairie hill and a leafless tree. And there's a hole in the roof. And I just started thinking about all the good things that happened in that home before it got to here. You know, this old broken place. And I wrote a song in the voice of the house.
Oh, cool.
And how it's longing for people to come home and to play games and to watch sunsets in the yard. And I'm at a point in my life, you know, with my oldest being 20 and my youngest is a junior in high school, that I'm going to have an empty nest and I'm going to want everybody to come back. So I'm kind of writing with the idea of giving me a little medicine for when I have my empty nest and when I might feel like that house.
Right,
that's all
right,
alone.
Right.
Yeah,
yeah. Derelict without any kids in my house.
Right, right.
Oh, I love those parallels. That is just wonderful. And this song, first of all, I love space for your voice so that you can really, really hear the words. And your voice is absolutely crystal clear. And it is on both of these songs we're going to play today. And some of the lines I love, people can listen for them. Or can you see beyond the weeds? Boy, do we all need to do that, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
And at the table, there's always room. I hope you can come home soon. Beautiful. Really, really wonderful. And yes, when your kids leave the house, that's you feel that quite often.
Yeah.
And the harmonies are wonderful. So now that I've talked about the things that I love about this, listen for them as we play this song. It's called There's Always Room. Why don't you tell us before we listen to it, the musicians that are playing on it.
In the spirit of being a mama bear, I hired my son, my 20-year-old son, and his blues band made up of 18-year-old boys that he went to high school with. They're all playing on it, and it's just really fills my heart knowing that these very talented musicians who are young men who are at my home all the time, my house is their practice space. And so I set up this song to them and I said, let's record this song together. And it's their debut recording. They write their own music. They have their own sort of thing. But this is, you know, Katie Tessman with Burning Blue Rain.
I love that story. I love, you know, getting those youngsters involved and lifting them up to have these experiences. It's just awesome.
Thank you.
Love it. And, all right. So let's take a listen to There's Always Room, written by my guest today, Katie Tessman.
Smell the lilacs blooming. Can you see beyond the weeds? Right here, you can plant a garden. Inside, there's a jar of seeds. I've seen the cradle and the grave. Sheltered many from the storm. Every night I wish upon the stars. I hope I hope you come home soon. Curl up and tell a story. Watch the sunset in the backyard.
Pauline Jennings, and you're listening to Musician Talk. You just heard There's Always Room, an original by my guest today and performed by her, Katie Tessman. I can hear your influences, that's for sure. It's kind of, I feel like your voice is a cross between like Carole King and Nancy Griffith.
Oh, I mean, thank you,
You're welcome. You have some tones and tendencies of both those women I hear anyway. And, I love both of them. So
I do too.
When I was looking for a quote for you, I wanted to find something by Nancy Griffith thought that would be a good fit. And, I couldn't pick one because there's so many great things. I believe Nancy Griffith, from what I heard on stage, her story she told, and from the things that I read, was an incredibly wonderful person as well. Yeah. And had a lot of great things to say. And the first one, when we were talking about songwriting and finding your voice, which we didn't really touch on much, we just talked about your process, but she said, your own voice is the voice that carries you through life the best, which we might think is obvious, but a lot of people don't get to use their true voice because of prejudices and biases and all those kind of things. And certainly women haven't been able to. So to be able to put your own voice into a song, and let's take one step back. How did you find your voice, or did it just come?
During that 20-year pause from songwriting and performing, a lot happened in my life. I gave birth to two beautiful boys who are talented young men. But I was diagnosed with breast cancer at the age of 39.
Oh.
And now I am a 13-year survivor.
Great.
And
congratulations.
I kind of feel like I have a lot to say.
Yeah.
I am an extrovert, an Enneagram 7, an enthusiast. So now that I'm 50 something, I realize that I have less fear about saying what I want to say. With my songwriting now, I want to talk about the tough stuff, but I also want to give people hope and help them find light in dark places and honor the stumbles that we've had and celebrate those summits. I feel lucky that I'm this old.
Yes.
And I feel lucky that I am able to do the things that I want to do with my music. Yes, there are limitations, of course, but it feels so good to be able to put these messages to music and be on a stage and share that with people.
And how freeing to let go of that fear and just say it the way it is.
Yeah. I got scars. You know what? I think we all do.
We do. We all do. Exactly. And why not talk about them instead of hiding them?
Right.
Right. We can learn from each other. And so during your cancer fight, you were not playing or writing songs.
No, I did participate in music theory, music therapy.
Tell me about that.
There's a variety of different things that you can participate in music therapy. You could play along, do some percussion or strum some guitar, sing. But I chose more of the guided imagery. So at my clinic, there was a chair in a very, that was built with the speakers in it. So you could feel the music in your body. My therapist had a small private room that was dim and she would help me, you know, just do some guided imagery. When I was diagnosed, my boys were ages 6 and 3. I had really little kids. And it broke my heart when, you know, my 3-year-old would come in and pat my back when I was barfing.
Yeah.
But that was what was going on in my house.
Right.
So the therapy was very reassuring that life is going to go on. It will all work out. And I don't need a head of hair or breasts to be Katie Tethman.
Right.
Yeah.
So you were going through this and so sick while you had these young children at home. I just, you must have just learned a lot about life, right? And prioritizing and really what matters. And so again, material to put into the songs that you can share with the world about what all these things that you learned.
Yeah.
I love that. I have another quote right along with this is another Nancy Griffith quote that I found that I thought about you. I think on what I saw you shared that you had were a survivor of cancer. And so I thought of you when I read this. It was nice to focus on things outside of my body. This is Nancy Griffith talking about playing music. It was nice to focus on things outside of my body. Music has always done that for me. And so hearing you in that chair with your therapist and dealing with all the things that you're dealing with the feelings and your kids and the illness and all that kind of stuff, to be able to have that music take you outside your body.
Yes, and guide me to peace, a peaceful place. The things that I visualized during those therapy sessions were very powerful. I visualized finding peace by myself in the woods, and I could hear my children playing in the distance, and they were happy sounds.
Nice.
And that really made me strong. And I would walk out of those music therapy sessions taller.
Oh, that is so wonderful to hear. So let's get to the big Nancy Griffith quote, which is that I picked out for this. And I want to talk about just a little bit, and then we're going to move on to the next song. She said, I think that a lot of women are made to feel that they have not done the one thing that they were put on the earth to do if they don't do the normal thing. If they didn't take the most traveled path, and it's unfortunate, says Nancy Griffith, I would add, can be devastating as well. the pressure, I don't know that it's as there as much as it was when I was in my 20s. How about you? In the music industry anyway?
Yes. Yeah, definitely in my 20s. And obviously I stopped performing after I became a mother. I knew I wanted to be a mom. My identity has a long list of roles. Right. Mom is my first one. It was easy to stop everything and focus on my babies.
So you didn't feel like you had to. You didn't feel pressure that, oh, if you're a mother, you can't be out singing and playing in bands.
The hard part about after my babies were born was to have the support at home to be able to go out and do it.
Sure.
So it was just easier to wait. And the muse of writing wasn't there. And, limited amount of energy.
Sure.
To, what am I going to put my energy toward?
Exactly.
Is it going to be toward figuring out who is going to babysit? Or or is it just, let's just stay home and put the tent up in the living room and play,
Right.
So I'm comfortable with my choices. I want to make sure that I encourage myself to be true to who I am. Some of that may be taking a detour from the path that is well laid out, that the stereotypes say of who I should be.
Right.
With my music and the messages that I want to say about being optimistic and having songs that are about tough stuff, that isn't really what society is expecting women to be singing about.
Right.
So I am deviating from that path, but I am grateful for the women that have paved the way.
Right. Whatever it is, as long as it's your choice and it's not something
right.
that's put on you by society that you feel, well, this is what I'm supposed to do, right?
Right, right. I was the media center clerk at Armstrong High School for a handful of years. And those high schoolers were learning about feminism. And they would come up to me. One of their projects was they had to interview a variety of people and ask if they were a feminist. Well, I'm a woman, so
right. Yes,
and I'm a daughter, and I'm a mother, so yes. And then I realized they needed a little more.
Yeah.
So I believe that feminism gives you the opportunity to choose.
Right.
That, to me, that's what feminism is, and we have tons of role models.
We sure do.
Yeah. I can own my own home because of Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Exactly. Oh boy, did she do a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ruth. Yes. All right. So moving on to the next song, Piece by Piece. Was this one of the challenges online, or where did this one come from?
Yes. Yes. I wrote this last winter. The prompt word is erased from my brain. I don't know what the word was.
But does it matter? Because it doesn't matter what you started with. You created this thing.
Right. But this was the first song that I realized that I have something unique from my experience that I can write a song. And we're all, there's 30 of us writing a song based on the same prompt. And so there's going to be 30 different songs. But, some of them are going to be similar. Because of the word, badge. Okay, I got, my right. badge. Oh, I remember the word now. Sleeve.
Sleeve.
The prompt word was sleeve.
Oh, that's a tough
one. So the cliche is heart on your sleeve.
Oh, sure.
I wear my heart on my sleeve, which is beautiful. And I thought, I'm going to challenge myself a little bit further. And this image of my compression sleeve kept coming to my mind. And so when I fly on an airplane, because there's lymph nodes taken out, I have to wear a compression sleeve. And it's a big obstacle course to get it on because it's super tight and it's very uncomfortable. And I put it on at the last minute. And then I have this like club arm because I can't even move my fingers anyway.
Lovely.
Yeah.
And so your arm doesn't swell up. So
I don't get the lymphedema. Yeah. No. So I don't get lymphedema. And so I thought, okay, I have this thing. nobody, I don't think anybody of the other 30 songwriters is going to write a song about breast cancer.
No, not one of the prop to sleeve.
Right, right, exactly.
Right.
So I went for a hike all by myself, and I just listened to nature, and I made a resolution that it's not going to be a woe is me breast cancer song. It's going to be about how I put my life back together, and more about survivorship. And, you know, when I would sit in that chemo chair for 8 hours and getting poison pumped in my body, I kept telling myself, this is the grandma plan. This is the grandma plan. I'm going to be able to live long enough to be a grandma. That was my goal.
Yes.
So the song is about how I am moving forward and being a survivor. And, I recorded it from at my home studio with the help of my younger son. And, my older son plays all the guitars on it. And it's just do the vocals. It's very, simple. It's a very simple song.
It starts out beautifully with that acoustic guitar, and the electric solo work too is just lovely. Absolutely lovely. And I am going to leave that there. We're just going to listen to the song, and I'll talk about the things that I want to say about the song afterwards. So this is a song called Piece by Piece, written by my guest today, Katie Tessman. Here it is.
Like a patchwork quilt, a masterpiece, custom built. Day by day, the sun will rise. I will kiss away the gray skies, and the best news of all, I get to watch you two grow so tall. With leaps of faith, blessed to be here every 28th. Live my life, bask in the glow. I got more to give. I can take it fast or take it slow. And the best news of all, I am watching you two grow so tall. Piece by piece, day by day, year by year, today.
This is Musician Talk, and I'm your host, Pauline Jennings. My guest today is Katie Tesman. You just heard her perform her original tune called Piece by Piece, and she performed it with her kids, with her boys. Love that. Again, the space that you make in your songs for your voice and your words, and so that we can so well understand what you're saying. Some of the lines, the kiss away the gray skies, love that image. I love your phrasing. It's unexpected phrasing in a lot of places. And I love the line, I'm living today. I love that. I love it. And day by day and year by year. And so you can hear, it's so nice to know the story behind this, because you just go, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. My double mastectomy is my cancerversary, and it was on my 40th birthday.
Wow.
So every October 28th is kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
So I have that line in there about every 28th.
I was wondering about that. Thank you for clearing that up. So Katie, all right, now we've heard your wonderful music, and we hear that you were on tour when you were younger, and you came back and are playing all over as a solo artist. So what's your best gig? What's your worst gig? Let's start with the worst so we end with the best.
Well, I am an optimist, and so it's hard to remember the worst gig.
Good for you.
Looking back at this past year of 2022, I see it as kind of my re-debut. I had 25 gigs.
Wow,
over the course
good for
of
you.
Year. Yeah, yeah, in 15 different cities.
Wow.
So, yeah.
I can't imagine you didn't have... I know that exhausts me to think about it, but you know, that is just so great that you're getting all those dates. And I can't imagine with going to all those cities that you haven't had some technical issues.
Right. Right. I think the show that I, struggled with the most this past summer was, I was outdoors and it was 90 degrees and I had to, the stage area was in the sun. And there was a time that I was like, I don't even know if I'm playing guitar. It was very strange. It was a very strange feeling. Yeah, it worked out.
Good. I'm glad it worked. And you don't have to pick your best gig, but what's one that you look back on very, very fondly?
Just this past October, I did a fundraising event for the Angel Foundation at the 318 Cafe in Excelsior. And it was just a show with my band, and we sold out the house.
Nice.
So it was filled with so much love. And the Angel Foundation is a wonderful nonprofit organization that supports adults that are fighting cancer. I was a recipient of financial aid back in 2010.
Wow.
And this was my opportunity to give back with the support of all of everybody who contributed. I raised $1,000.
Wow. Awesome.
And I wrote a children's book about breast cancer. And I think it was a dozen of my books were purchased as a donation for the Angel Foundation to have in their support packs that they would give to family members.
Awesome. What's the name of the book?
Our Mama is a Beautiful Garden.
Our
it's
Mama
in the voice of my two little boys telling the story of when their mama got real sick with breast cancer. And Lewis speaks as a six-year-old and uses big words like reconstruction and chemotherapy. And then my three-year-old Max, he contributes in the book by saying things that like grandpa knows how to have fun. So it was fun for him to come and play with me when mama needed to get her treatments. So families can read this book for littles. It's really important that they have the opportunity to talk about what's going to happen to their mom or their aunt or their teacher, because kids are going to hear what the adults are talking about.
Right.
And this book gives them an opportunity to really discuss things.
What a great idea to write this. I mean, how needed is this? I don't know if this exists outside of your...
Yeah, there wasn't any children's books that I could read to my kids when I was diagnosed in 09. Yeah.
That's brilliant.
There were books about cancer, but it was more about the older person in your life. And the watercolors were very dark and dreary. And the text was big, long paragraphs. I had a 3-year-old.
Right.
So I explained it my own way. That cancer was a weed in my garden. We're going to get rid of the garden and rebuild the garden. This is not a weed like Creeping Charlie. It's not going to go into your garden. It's like a dandelion with a really deep root. And my kids got it. And because they went on the journey with me and kept an optimistic outlook, I realized that I wrote the book. And so I wanted to be able to share that.
It's got to be so scary for little kids, and mostly because they just don't understand it. So, I mean, really, seriously, good for you. And thank you for writing this, a very important book. Our Mama is a Beautiful Garden. Yeah. Wow. Impressive.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. So what do we have coming up for gigs?
Well, books and music have always been a center stage in my life. And having written Our Mama is a Beautiful Garden, and now focusing on songwriting, I realized that my message is, you know, to instill hope. And I've been working on a recording of a new song called Hero Now Crowned. And I'll be releasing it along with a lyric picture book. I commissioned an illustrator, based out of St. Paul, and, designed a book to go along with the song, and we're celebrating the release of the two on Saturday, February 11th at the Astor Cafe in Minneapolis. It's the Saturday before Valentine's Day, and the theme of my event is self-love. Celebrate you. Love yourself. The song is a love song for all of us who have overcome hardships, whether it be a health emergency or suffering from anxiety and depression or conquering addiction or, you know, getting through grief. We're all heroes going through the tough stuff and getting ourselves out of those dark places qualifies us as a hero. And so that's what my song is, Hero Now Crowned.
That is great. That is really brilliant. So where can people find this once it's released? And so this, first of all, the gig Saturday, February 11th at the Astor Cafe in downtown Minneapolis. Where can they find your music, your new music, your old music, your current music, and the books?
Everything's available on my website, katietessman.com. There is a pre-order book form that you could fill out, and I can send you a book when they're printed. The song will be available on my Bandcamp February 10th. If you're coming to my show and you want to pre-order a book, I will have it there ready for you when I see you at the event.
Nice.
But on my website there, you can find my other shows that are coming up, when I'll be at the Grand in Northfield again, and how you can get to my artist page directly for your favorite streaming service.
Got it. Okay. And that's Katie, K-A-T-Y, Tessman. K-A-T-Y, Tessman, TESSMAN.com.
I have social media. So if people want to follow along on Instagram or YouTube, you just find me there. And on my YouTube channel, I post my very rough brand new baby songs from the songwriting challenge. And it's interesting to see the transformation. You could hear like my first version of There's Always Room or Piece by Piece on my YouTube. And then you can go and listen to the finished version of the recording.
Oh, That's a great idea too. You're full of them. I'm going to have you back on just so we can throw ideas around or just have coffee or something.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, thank you so much, Katie, for being on this dreary, dreary day that didn't end up being such a storm, but it was really great to have you on and talk about your story. And you have so many wonderful, wonderful things to say and to impart to others. And your message of hope went straight to my heart. So thank you. Thank you so much, Katie.
Thank you, Pauline. Happy 2023.
Happy New Year to you too. Take care. Many, many thanks to Katie for sharing her personal stories with us and pointing us all toward hope. Thanks always to Wendy Nordquist and to you, dear listener, for tuning in to Musician Talk on the One, KYMN. Have a wonderful day.